Our Bible is broken up into two major sections. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. First book of the New Testament is Matthew. And Matthew goes from Matthew all the way to Revelation. There's 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. And many a times as Christians, what we do or what we better identify with is the New Testament. Say, why? Well, the church is there and more familiar circumstances and Christ is in the New Testament. So that helps us. And sometimes we're a little afraid, not afraid, but hesitant to dive into the Old Testament. We read a lot of the law, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were all written by the same person. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Moses wrote those. And there we find the law in Genesis. We have the story of beginnings, Exodus, the exodus of Israel out of Egypt, Genesis, Leviticus. Leviticus. Anybody read Leviticus? Say, how would you sum up the book of Leviticus in one word? Law. Laws. Many laws. That's what it is. And God dealing with the nation of Israel, and he says, here's what I want you to do, and here's what I don't want you to do. And if you don't do this, you're in trouble, and if you do this, I'll be your God, and we'll be fine. The book of Numbers is a lot of counting, and there's a lot of keeping track of a lot of things. There we see how many of this we want and how many of that and how big. Now, there's different stories within there, and certainly we can make some application. We get to Deuteronomy, say, oh, yeah, what's Deuteronomy about? The law again. We get the law all over again. And a lot of things we find in Leviticus, and you say, yeah, that's why I don't read the Old Testament. It's just not applicable to me. It's just not useful for me. It's just not beneficial for me. I'm a New Testament guy. I read my proverb of the day when I'm having a hard time. I read through the grab a couple Psalms, but mainly I read Matthew through Revelation, and I just start back. I'm here to tell you, you're missing out.
Yes, sir.
You're missing out on some things. And this morning we're going to spend the majority of our time in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses. Some of the verses I'll just read for sake of time. But all that to say, the Old Testament reveals the character and attributes of God. And as we study that, we're going to see things in the Old Testament that really reveal who God is and what He's all about and what He likes and what He doesn't like. And we're going to walk away with a common thought. Hopefully you found 1 Chronicles. I did not. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 this morning. And we walk away with this thought. And look at these verses in 1 Chronicles 29. I think it's on the front of your bulletin this morning. I think those were the verses that I gave you. Here we are at the end of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, say, tell us about 1 Chronicles. What is 1 Chronicles about? Well, first and 2 Samuel is the introduction of Saul. And there we see the life of Saul. And we transition over to David. Chronicles is very similar to that. We have the kind of the 1 and 2 Kings again in 1 and 2 Chronicles. And this is the life of David. Where we are in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is David is turning over his throne or his kingdom over to his son Solomon. He wants Solomon to take that, and God uses Solomon in a great way. Here we are at the end of David's life. And David says these very important things. David, may I say, if you've ever studied the life of or the book of Samuel, we measure David's life, certain events in David's life, David and Goliath, right? I mean, amazing. A little boy goes down to the brook and takes five little stones, only needs one, and wings it and knocks down a 9.5-foot-tall giant and defeats the armies of the Philistines himself. Whoa, awesome. David, tell me about his heart. Man after God's own heart, right? We read those things. Within there, though, David had a rough life. David had to run for his own life from his son, who took over the kingdom, stole the kingdom away. He saw his children die. He saw the penalty of sin in his own life. David had a rough go. He dealt with heartache. He actually served with the Philistines. Man, tough go. Here he is at the end of his life, and what does he have to say? 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Man, wouldn't that be great to have as your dying words, hey, conclusion of your life. David, tell us the conclusion of the matter. David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. He pretty much gets up and says, God is good all the time. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Let's look at verse 11. Look at these words. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. I'll draw your attention to this next one. And the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. What powerful words. What a testimony to have at the end of your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, we're thankful for who you are. God, I'm thankful for your strength. I'm thankful for your power. I'm thankful for your victories. I'm thankful for your majesty. I'm thankful for your holiness and righteousness and just who you are. God, I pray that we'd get a handle on that this morning. God, I pray that we would walk away having a better view of who you are. Lord, that'll help us in our day-to-day life. And Lord, we need that right now. We need you right now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at these words again in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Here it is. Who is David? What has been promised to David? The Bible says that his kingdom will exceed all other kingdoms. That his kingdom will last forever. That his throne will be established forever. And what does he acknowledge? Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. You are the greatness. You are power. You are glory. You are victory. You are majesty. Man, he just glorifies God with his voice. A proclamation from a man about the very character of God. I've told you this before. I was in Bible Institute over at First Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Don Curran was my pastor. I was taking systematic theology. And on my final exam, he had the question, three words, who is God? He said, open book. I was excited. Coming into a test, open book. And then he asked questions like that, who is God? Well, you better know the Lord to be able to write about him. Hey, David, who is God? He's great. He's powerful and he's glory and he's victory and he's majesty. Here we have a man proclaiming the character of God. How often does our voice proclaim the strength and glory of God? How often do we take all of our words and just point them back to him? It says nothing of himself. David says, and all the things you did with me, and all... Very few times does he say me. He says you. He's pointing the direction to God. He uses strength and power and glory and victory and majesty. He gives them all ownership and exaltation. He says this, for all that is thine, or for all that is in the heaven and earth is thine. What doesn't that include? Earth and heaven. That's all of it. It's all his. His ownership. And then he says in the end, O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. God doesn't just inhabit those places, but he's the head of it all. And these are the final words of David. Final days of David, he acknowledges the strength of God. David needed the strength of God when he had none. Remember when he had to encourage himself in the Lord? What did that mean? No one was there to say, hey, good job, keep going, king. It was just him. He can testify of the strength of God. He can testify of the power of God. He can testify of the glory of God, of the power of God overcoming adversity, the glory of God and establishing his throne forever. the victory of God in defeating the enemies, and then the majesty of God, a future promise of what is to come, the temple, His majesty. That's a word we don't use often unless, again, because we're in the United States of America, we have no king or queen. We refer to nobody as the majesty. Your majesty? No, we don't say that here. We have a president, no king. George Washington was very clear that he did not want to be king. The power of the country lies in the hands of the people. Sarah and I were talking, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in New York State, and the older you get, the more crazy it gets, and it seems. And Sarah says, how do we undo this? Well, we elect people that agree with us. I don't like the decision. I understand that, but they got elected. The governor of our state is the governor of our state because more people picked him than anybody else. I don't like it. That's the truth. Majesty. What is majesty? I have a definition for you. I'll try and sum it up. Greatness of appearance. Greatness of appearance. Dignity. Grandeur. Dignity of aspect or manner. The quality or state of a person or thing. Listen, now, this is the part I want you to kind of lock into your definition when we see this word majesty show up multiple times throughout this morning. The thing which inspires awe or reverence in the beholder. Majesty. The thing which inspires awe or reverence in the beholder. I remember Pastor Huber used to teach us all the time, we have big problems because we have a small God. We have small problems when we have a big God. The smaller we make God, the bigger our problems. The bigger we make God, the smaller our problems. Hey, this morning, let's magnify God. Let's make a big deal about the Lord. Let's look at what He says about Himself. There's no possible way I could properly define God. For if I could, I would be God. But we'll look at what God says about Himself, and that we would walk away with a better reverence and awe of Him. Because the bigger He gets, the smaller we get. He must increase, John 3:30, and I must decrease. We need to have some, we use that word awesome. What is that? Full of awe, reverence in the beholder. Majesty is based on the beholder. That's important. Because God inhabits all of these things. He has all of this character. He has all of these attributes. The question is, do we see it like that? Of course, we can reference Isaiah chapter 6, right? He sees the throne of God and he says, "Behold, I am undone." Why? Because he got to see it. He got to see the throne of God and he was in awe. We go throughout our days and I wonder if we ever even catch a glimpse of the majesty of God. Oh, I'm about to quit. My anxiety is at an all-time high. I'm crushed by events and the things that are going on. And every time we mention that, and every time we handle things like that, you know what we do? We just keep making God smaller and smaller and smaller. May we magnify the Lord this morning. Remember the songs that we sang this morning? To God be the glory. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, worship the King. All those songs are about just magnifying God. Psalm 93 this morning. Psalm 93. We're going to look at some verses that maybe aren't super familiar to you. So I do ask that you look at them and maybe jot them down and go back and revisit them if you like. Psalm 93 in verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth." Is that true? Yes. Is the Lord in charge? Yes. Is he in charge of my life? He should be. That's right. And we had that great song by the Jabiskies. What a prayerful song that was. Lord, here, take my life. It's best in your hands. The Lord reigneth. Look at this. He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. The very thing that he wears is majesty. And he always has. Here's what I want to point out here. Our first point is the eternal cloak of majesty. That's what he has always worn, and that's what he will always wear. He will never be less awesome or amazing or any more. He is to the fullest and eternal. He reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. You know, on Sunday mornings, I go over to my closet and I have, I don't know, I'm blessed. I have four or five suits that I get to choose from. Some are a little tighter than others. I don't know what's happened. They must have shrunk in my closet. It gets hot in the closet. That's what it is. I keep them in there with hopes and dreams, but it's not going well. They're starting to collect dust on the shoulders and stuff. It's not good. But I get the, I have a blessing. I go in there and I'm thankful. I have some nice suits and things. You know this, I don't know where this one's from. Calvin Klein. Yeah. Tie. This is Paisley. Who knew Paisley would come back around, right? Say, preacher, it hasn't. All right. 100% silk. I got wooden heels on my shoes. Leather. He's clothed in majesty and strength. That's what he wears. His cloak is that of awesomeness. Question is, do I see it? Look at Psalm 104 in verse 1. Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great and art clothed with honor and majesty. The one who inspires awe or reverence, that's what he's clothed with. Who covers thyself with light as a garment. Say, what does that look like? I have no idea. I can't even begin to try and describe that. But that's what he covers himself with. Light. Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Yesterday we were coming in here with a little lift and had to move that nice curtain, peel it back. He says that's how he made the heavens. Just kind of moved things around, brought things together. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. How'd you get here? I just took the wind. Well, how'd you do that? Well, I used the clouds to move across. What? What is that? That's awesome. And the Lord our God, as we study our dry Old Testament, reveals to us his character in which he wears the eternal cloak of majesty. His garments for eternity. One day we'll shed these mortal bodies and put on immortality. And we'll be given robes and of fine linen, it says in Revelation. But he wears majesty. He wears strength. He wears light. That's awesome. And that's never going to change. Again, he will never be less or more majestic. His majesty is unmatched. Exodus chapter 15. As we said, we mentioned the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is about, as we end the book of Genesis, we find the nation of Israel in Egypt. Well, things take a bad turn, and there's a Pharaoh that knows not the God of Joseph, and he makes things hard, and for a good number of years, they live in bondage, until God brings about Moses. Some 400 years they live in bondage, and Moses there delivers the nation of Israel out of that in a epic way. I'm not sure I'm allowed to use that word epic, but epic way. Huge. Say how? He brings them across the Red Sea on dry ground. Crossing of the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 15 is just praising the Lord for what He has done. Look at these verses. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. He asks the question, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out Thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them." Who else can do that? Nobody. He asks the questions again, "Who is like unto Thee?" His majesty is unmatched. They just crossed the Red Sea. Again, when you're up against it, up against the waters of life, isn't it amazing how God just seems to make a path for you to get out? That's what He does for us. I know I don't actually get to see the waters part, but I certainly do see the waters part in my life. I feel like I'm up against it sometimes. I feel like I'm trapped. I don't know where to go. And all of a sudden the Lord opens it up and makes a way. We have a God who delights, listen, in impossibilities. He delights in that. Billy Sunday said that. We have a God who delights in impossibilities. God, this is impossible. Great, that's where I step in. Unmatched by any. Psalm 8:1, I'll read you a couple verses here. Psalm 8:1 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens?" Who can do that? 1 Chronicles 16:27 says, "Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place." Psalm 96:6, "Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." The majesty of God is unmatched by any. The things that God can do, no one else can do. A couple weeks ago, we had our VBS in here. We had a grand prize. Man, that was great. We stuck our hand in and we fished around in there and we pulled out a name for our kindergarten, first and second grade classes. And there, Miss, I think it was Sela. Did she win? Sela or Lydia? Lydia. Lydia won. And there we are, Lydia. Her mouth was open. Then we called that young man up, and same thing. He's just walking around, eyes open, right? Amazed. Man, what a blessing that was to be part of. I wonder what the nation of Israel looked like walking through the Red Sea. I just imagine my family, right, walking through. Have you ever walked down in New York City? Well, sorry. Find yourself in the middle of the street. Just amazed, right, by things. There you are, walking through the Red Sea. Here are my families. Hudson, get away from the water. Stop touching the fish. Just amazed at what God has done. Why don't we walk around like that? Is God any less God today? Has He stopped doing amazing things among us? No, we just fail to see it. Because it's in the majesty is awe or reverence in the beholder. Yes, sir. I'm walking through the Red Sea. I'm missing it. God's at work all around us. He's doing things. He's working near us, unmatched by anything else. The things that God does in our life, And we're missing it. We ought to walk around. How was your week this week? Unbelievable. Well, what happened? God happened. God happened last week. Happened again this week. The majesty of God. Can we see it? Are we beholding His majesty? Point number one, He wears the eternal cloak of majesty. Point number two, His majesty is unmatched. Point number three, Psalm chapter 29. Psalm 29. Say, oh, I would love to see the Red Sea. Man, and maybe the Lord will, I don't know, in heaven, but somehow show us that. I don't know. But I wonder if the people in heaven, hey, I want to see the thing in your life. Well, I didn't have a Red Sea. Yeah, but what about that? Oh, yeah, that was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Yeah, I was praying for my brother, and man, Lord got a hold of his heart, changed his life, turned it upside down. Unbelievable. Now that you bring that up, yeah, that was really neat to see. Psalm 29. This point is labeled the majesty of His voice. And as we read verse 29, look at how many times His voice shows up. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in the temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Ever look around and go, man, I wonder why things do that. A couple weeks ago, we were walking, and I was walking down a little side street. We got over in Kendall Mills, there's a big time in Kendall Mills. There's a little triangle. That's Kendall Mills. There's a triangle. And we were walking and looked over the guardrail, and there were two fawns just sitting there looking at me. Man, so cool. I said, what'd you do? Took a picture. That's what you do. Proof. Because if I told you, you're like, whatever, that's just preaching. Went and got the kids, right? Where are the kids? Do we have kids, right? Yeah. Joe, you saw the two fawns. There they were. He go, man, that's amazing. How do they know to take refuge in the high grass on the side? Because the Lord told them to. Yep. How do they know at a certain time to go look for a buddy to make more kids? God told them to. What makes the wind move like it does? God told it to. What makes the trees grow like they do? What makes fire dance like that? God told it to. You go ahead and tell something to do something. I can't even get my dog to listen to me. He's standing at the end of the steps. Trapper, come here. He's just looking at me. Next time I'm going to be like, Lord, tell him to get in here. Yeah, that's what we need to start doing. I like this. In His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. Man, just a few minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, half hour ago, in unified voice, we just told the world about His glory. The voice of the Lord is majestic. How awesome with a voice like that He would then speak to us. The voice and thunderings, we were mentioning it a little bit in our Sunday school class. He speaks so loud sometimes. Yet, it's tough to describe. So loud, yet so gentle. young lady was talking about just how she needed some help, and she opened up and the Lord gave her the perfect verse. It was like exactly like God was talking to her. So gentle yet so loud. The voice of God, like thunderings, powerful, full of majesty, it says. Yet, so gentle in my heart. Job 37, I'm going to read some verses to you. Job 37 and verse 2. Hear attentively the noise of His voice, and the sound that goeth out of His mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and His lightning under the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, He thundereth with the voice of His excellency. He will not stay them when His voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He, which we cannot comprehend. For He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of His strength. And again, He speaks to you and me. The majesty of His voice. Should we not, when the voice of God comes to our hearts, stop everything we're doing to give attention to it? There He was in the Moses in the wilderness. Been some 40 years since he heard the voice of God. All of a sudden the bush burned. And God talked to him through that burning bush, and what did he do? Immediately took off his shoes, dropped to his face. Should we not immediately stop everything that we're doing when the majesty of His voice comes through our life? Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And when God comes by and says, I want to do this with your life, or I want to lead or guide in this direction, I don't know. Hey, let's look at His previous records. What it is that He does. The majesty of His voice. Next. Turn over to Psalm 139. Please. We just have two more points. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it unto it. Jump down to verse 14. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The majesty of His creation. You know God makes no mistakes. None. Not one time does He say, that didn't turn out how I thought. It always turns out how He thinks. And you and me, we might get down and say, man, I am a flawed individual. True. I'm a mess. I am faint-hearted, and I doubt, and I fear, and I struggle. And yet God looks at us and says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you understand that we are an expression, our creation is an expression of His majesty? Here we have, I don't know, maybe 100 people in this room, maybe more, maybe less. Each one so unique, so different. Some tall, some short, some different widths, different colors, hair long, short, some strong, some not strong, some intelligent, some some with a good personality. Some understand certain things and some get a hold of other things. How different each individual. It's not like, oh, you're him. You two right there are the exact same. No one. And he says, you're all wonderful. An expression of his majesty. 7.5 billion people in this world, all unique individuals. And all that says to me is we have a majestic creator. I just have to look back and go, wow, you made all this. You make all this work. You can hear me. You speak to me. And every single person can say the exact same thing. You know me. Creation and his majesty. Lastly, Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. O generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Let's read that verse again. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Verse 6. And men shall speak of the mighty, of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. We end right back where we started. David proclaiming the majesty and strength and victory and the power and the glory of God. Here we are at Psalm 145, and we have the psalmist, David, saying, shall one generation testify and declare of his majesty to the next? One of the blessings of age, one of the downfalls is the lack of energy and physical body hurts. One of the benefits is experience. And the more we go, the more experience we have. Isn't it nice to know that we have an answer to a generation that's wandering? I don't know what to do with this situation. I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what to do. I'm lost here. Here, let me introduce you to the one who is mightier than your situation. Let me speak of the glorious honor of his majesty. Let me tell you about the wonderful works that he has done in my life. The greatest help you can be to the next generation is to magnify God. You do not have the answers. God is the answer. And as we struggle from thing to thing and problem to problem or ailment to ailment, and we think, what on earth is going on? How do I handle this? What is the response to this? What is the answer? The answer is still the same. God. God is the answer. Application of the majesty of God. Here we see the proclamation again of his majesty. The application of the majesty of God. Say, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? How do I make this applicable to me in daily living? Daily living. You begin your day with asking God, Lord, help me to see you for who you are. Because you know what that immediately does? It makes anything else smaller. Think about the verses that we looked at this morning. Think about his eternity and his cloak of majesty. The one who wears majesty, who wears glory, who wears the light. Think about his unmatched majesty, the one who is able to part the sea. Think about his thundering voices and think about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about proclaiming that to others and go, yeah, my problem is but this big compared to that. It's actually, I'm not even sure I can even categorize it as a problem anymore. If I got that, the application of the majesty is simply to ask God, help me to see it. Because majesty is awe and reverence from the beholder. It'll change our prayer life. It'll change our Bible reading. When we pray for the Spirit's help, we will simply fall down at the Lord's feet in our weakness. There we will find victory and power that comes from His love. Andrew Murray, man that wrote much on prayer. When we have the right perspective of His majesty, we will simply fall down at the Lord's feet in our weakness, to which then we will find victory and power and help. Let's all stand this morning. In a moment, we'll have a brief invitation. But maybe you just want to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, can you help me see you in all this? Can you help me just see you? Can you help me make you bigger? Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Whatever it is that you've spoken to someone's heart about. Lord, may we walk out of here with an awesome view of you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?